I am from Donetsk. So in 2014, I left Donetsk because of that war. The first war incident in 2014, I had to leave Donetsk. And my family, my sister, I have a sister and her family and a nephew and an elderly aunt. They are in Donetsk at the moment, behind the border. So I ran in 2014, guys, left my apartment. Then in the 8 years, I managed to buy myself a little apartment in Irpin. Now I had to run and I had to leave my stuff, everything, you know, in that apartment, even some food in the fridge. I don't know what will happen to this food. Don't quote me on that. I don't know what will happen to this food in my fridge. Oh my goodness. So never mind. I have two sets of keys, two apartments in two cities, and I'm a refugee in Lviv. But this is not, I still pray and believe that this is not over. We will get through. Yeah, my family is in Donetsk, still in Donetsk. They are fine at the moment. The only thing is that they now start enrolling. You know that Donetsk is occupied, is under, it's Donetsk People's Republic, they call themselves. So they start enrolling, draw to military guys from 18, boys from 18 until 60. So my sister, she is really afraid that her son, my nephew, will be drafted to the military service. So that's, but other than that, they don't have bombs or anything. They are scared. They hide themselves in men. I mean, they hide in flats, in the apartments. My nephew, she wouldn't allow him to go outside for like 10 days now. So he's been sitting, because if he goes outside, there is a chance that he will be, they walk on the streets and they grab police, local police, Donetsk People's Republic's police, and then they just grab boys and men, and then they can take them to this military place and, you know, enroll into the army.
Mm. You know, I started out the hour talking about the Russian propaganda machine and the bots and the way they're getting into social media. It's sounding, so much like you and me, but they're not. It's part of the propaganda that the former Soviet Union is putting out. But there's nothing like an eyewitness. And now you got to hear from this refugee. And I'm so glad you did, because this encourages us to pray and it encourages us to act. And Donetsk is a very problematic part of the country right now, because as Russia comes in from the north, the south, and from the east, Donetsk is right in the crosshairs of what's going on right now. Won't let her 18-year-old son out in the street because the police might grab him and consign him into surgery. You know who loves refugees? Dr. Lena Apujamra. She works an awful lot with refugees. Well, when she's not working in the ER, because she's a pediatric ER doc, she practices telemedicine. She's the founder of Living with Power Ministries. But in addition to that, you can hear her on Moody Radio with Today's Single Women. She's a wonderful author. I've got her most recent up called Fractured Faith: Finding Your Way Back to God in an Age of Deconstruction. She's done an awful lot of medical care and humanitarian work with Syrian refugees and others in disaster areas in the Middle East. But Lena, I find it absolutely fascinating, because I looked at my map and I don't think Ukraine is in the Middle East. So tell me why your heart is there now.
I'll tell you what, Janet, God has a funny way of working in the middle of difficulties, and he surprises us all the time. A couple months ago, we started praying in our ministry. We could see sort of that God was providing, and we just sensed that God was going to move into a new area. We weren't sure where. So we've literally been praying diligently and fervently. And about 2 weeks ago, February 20-something, when the war broke out, a couple of days before the war broke out, we started looking on the map. And I remember the day it broke out, I looked at the map, and I noticed that the Ukraine, and I'm one of those people, like, I don't know all my geography of all the Eastern European countries. I just know there's, like, Russia and a bunch of countries over there, right? I mean, I'm being honest. And so I remember looking and seeing the Ukraine and then seeing Romania right next door. And my immediate thought was Irina Shao, who works with me and for me. She's one of our main three people in our ministry, who run this little ministry that's like the Energizer Bunny. And Irina is from Romania. And I immediately texted her and said, Irina, what's your connection with Ukraine? And she went, this woman that we just heard the audio is actually a good friend of Irina, who together co-worked together in Sweden. Now this woman oversees and coordinates a network of 80 churches in the Ukraine. And so within minutes, Irina was able to connect with Lena. I'm Lena, she's Lena. Lena's a single 46-year-old woman who is based out of Ukraine, lives in Ukraine, is Ukrainian, and is now leading our efforts on the ground with over 5 refugee centers that they're working with people in transit as they're making their way out of Ukraine into Romania. And we also have another gentleman that we're working with, and we have connections, of course, in Romania because of Irina's family, and her background is from Romania. So it was a God thing, Janet, and it's an incredible thing to me because it's exactly the path that God has for us to walk through. And people have rallied with us. And they've given, we've raised over $35,000 now, and we're hoping to hit the, you know, 100,000 and above even before the week is over, because people are seeing what's happening, their hearts are moved, and I think everybody who has heard any stories, and there's plentiful stories in this age of social media, is dying to do something to help, and there's so many ways to help the churches and our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Oh, I'm so glad we're having this conversation. I started out the hour by talking about the fact that we are seeing the worst refugee crisis since World War II. Over a million Ukrainians are going. In fact, when they go to the train stations, the reports are now they don't even know where the trains are going. They just want to get on a train and get out. And then these pitiful pictures of the men saying goodbye to their wives and their children because they're staying back to fight, but they're trying, just like World War II and what England did with kids, getting them out of London, out to the countryside to try to protect the women and children as the men stay back to fight. And so this crisis has gone from 0 to 1,000, just like that. It's that bad.
Yeah.
You want to help the churches, and a lot of people are going, but Lena, okay, I don't get it. I mean, you know, Putin's coming in, and every day, by the time we wake up every morning, some other atrocity has been committed in Ukraine. Putin doesn't show any signs of stopping. He's not going to stop, by the way, with Ukraine. He's going to keep moving. He wants to pull back all those states and restore once again Mother Russia and the former USSR. That's his goal. And he wants to be the emperor of a newly recreated, regenerated empire. A lot of people hearing these stories are going, I am nothing but a grasshopper. Those are global giants. I can't do a thing. So when someone decides to support you in the work that you're doing to help the Ukrainians, what does that support look like in a tangible way?
Yeah, you know, this is a great question. And I'm telling you, I think those same thoughts. This is not unusual. When you see a massive problem, it's like cleaning out your house. You have that one closet you don't want to touch. But when you start working, you do it one step at a time. You do it one drawer at a time, and you do it one life at a time. That is what I've learned after years of working with Syrian refugees. For the one person that's being helped, it is life and death. It is the hope that they find in that moment. We've gotten testimonies from people who have come through the transit. The churches are opening, just exactly like what happened with Syrians. The churches are opening their doors. They're feeding. They're giving food and fuel. They're giving medications and mattresses and clothes and anything they can give in order to show not just that here's a meal for you until you make it, but a reminder that there is a God who is alive, who despite the darkness in this world, loves us. And in that moment, in that action of love, the testimonies that have come out, I'm looking at some of the testimonies that I've received. Every one of them has the same quote, which is, we thank the Lord. This is a quote from an email we got from a person on the ground. Thank the Lord that there are people who in such a difficult moment lend a helping hand and support. Mm. Others are seeing God's glory. We've seen a revival happen in the Middle East because of the disaster with ISIS years ago. And I really believe gospel and the light of Jesus will shine despite the craziness that we're seeing, that I think is so surreal. Most of us don't even have the bandwidth in our brain to figure out how to help. And so I've received, in our ministry, we've received gifts as little as $5, $10, $20 to as big as thousands of dollars. And so we try to break it down. You know, every dollar makes a difference, but you can actually, with $50, you can provide 10 warm, cozy blankets to families afflicted by the conflict. $100 helps supply a month's worth of nutritious food to a family in crisis. $175 can provide 5 families with emergency shelter materials. We offer 2 meals a day in every center that we are trying to support there. And look at what they're doing in Romania. That with the currency, $1,000 can help provide food for about 80 people for 1 week. Now you do the math, you add those dollars, and little by little, you're saving life after life after life. A woman who may have left her husband back in Kiev because they can't get out. Now they're, you know, going to war. Now the woman and her kids who have no way of getting into Romania have the funds because we're supporting the pastors on the ground and the churches on the ground to say, hey, you're going to put yourself in danger. I don't even ask Lena anymore. Hey, are you in danger? I just assume she's going to do the work.
Yeah,
why? Because she sees the bigger picture and she sees that God has put her there for such a time as this.
Wow. And you know, it's interesting, Lena, I did an interview earlier this week with the man who's in charge of church engagement for the American Bible Society. And he was talking to his counterpart in Ukraine. And one of the stories coming out of this, I love this stuff. You're not going to get this on MSNBC or CNN, but these are the stories I think that are making headlines and glory. And I really want to underscore them. So what's happening right now is they can't keep Bibles. They're flying off the shelf as fast as possible. Believers, non-believers, the stuff that they keep and reserve to sell that funds the ministry, they gave that away, all gone. So he came on to plead for the fact that they can't get enough Bibles in country right now in Ukraine, that people are hungry. I've seen pastors right on the border with Russian troops within eyesight who are praying for revival and peace in what's going on in Ukraine. I've seen people drop to their knees. When CNN reports this, something's going on. Five people on their knees in Kyiv praying with their faces toward heaven, and the CNN reporter going, that's a pretty amazing moment. I thought, yes, and you should see the perspective in heaven. It's even more amazing. So I want to continue this conversation when we come back. And Lena, I want to ask you also, particularly your heart for the Middle East. We know that Putin is pulling in sources from Syria. Now, you're very much involved in helping Syrian refugees. He's pulling people from Syria to get them involved in support of Putin's aggression coming into Ukraine. What are you hearing from some of your Syrian sources on this? And then teach us specifically how we can pray. And I want to know where people can go to give as well. More with Dr. Lena Abu-Jamra right after this.
Myself, I live in Irpin. Irpin is a small town, well, small according to Ukrainian standards, small town nearby Kyiv, in the suburban area. And Irpin, Bucha, Gostomel, that's the three cities. If you probably, saw it on the news, they are the most, like that's the hottest place, I mean, because it's in the morning, it's occupied by Russians. Then in the afternoon, it's Ukrainian troops deliver, and then they attack, and then they attack again. So it's on and off, back and forth. But now Red Cross negotiated with Ukrainian government and with the Russian troops green corridors for people to leave. Irpin, Bucha, and Gostomel also, and Vorzel. So that's where I live, and currently I evacuated, I left Irpin on the third day of the war, because we saw that it's going to be, you know, we saw where it was going. Suddenly internet disappeared and the bombs, and then they were bombing the airport. Gostomel airport is not far from where I live, so they were bombing it constantly. Now I'm in Lviv. I'm staying with the pastor's family here in the basement. They gave me a nice, you know, nice little room. I have everything I need to work. I have internet, I have food, so that's fine. I'm fine. And I am working in connection with other churches. I'm trying to, you know, to be a coordinator and also help the pastors here, and also help the pastors in other centers.
Love it. Eyewitness right there. She's now a refugee in her own country, working with churches. This is still a conversation with Lena, who's a friend of Irina's, who works with Dr. Lena Abu-Jamra and her ministry. There's a little bit more. I want you to hear all of this, because just cut through the fog of war and just listen to someone who's there, a sister in the Lord, who's telling you exactly what's happening. It will help quicken our prayer life as well. So listen to this a little bit more.
One thing which really touches my heart, how united our people are these days. And even the neighbors, you know, neighbors are not always the best friends, but it's amazing how they support each other, help each other right now. They united, they help each other to find where the gas is, or here's the bread, and here I have some medication. And you see that they communicate, and oh, please guys, if you have this and this medication, can you help? And then immediately they get response. I have a little left, so come and get it. And also we have a young lady. She's pregnant with her first child, and that's like she is to deliver this baby today or tomorrow. I mean, really soon. And then you see how everyone, those who left, those who evacuated, every neighbor, everybody's supporting her, finding her numbers of doctors, or offering her the left, whatever gas or petrol they have, and then, you know, sending her Pampers and stuff like that. So it's amazing how things like war can unite people. They get closer to each other. So that's wonderful. And, you know, war make, you know, it reveals the true circumstances like that, not only war, but it reveals the true essence of a human heart.
Reveals the true essence of the human heart. How true is that? So that's a sister in the Lord, Lena, in Ukraine, connected with Irina, as I said before, part of Dr. Lena Abujama's ministry, Living with Power Ministries. And now, as they've been praying, God, where else would you have us go? Enlarge our territory. He points to some of these Eastern Bloc countries, and ta-da, there you go. Not a God of coincidence. Just follow him. Just put your hand in his, and he'll take you where he wants you to go. So, Lena, I want to go back to how somebody can help. You talked about being able to help with blankets, for example. And here is Lena, who's talking about the food in the refrigerator or Pampers or a little bit of medicine that's left over. So the smallest of gift can go a long way right now. How does somebody join with you through Living with Power Ministries to be able to support what's going on?
We have a lot of information and a very easy way to give at livingwithpower.org/global, livingwithpower.org/global. All of your gifts go directly there. Literally, we don't have overhead. We are a simple ministry that has been able to do a lot. And we continue, by the way, the work in the Middle East. You'll find out everything we're doing there. I will be in Lebanon a week from Friday, Janet. I probably should talk to you from the ground, put you in the mood of what's happening in Syria. So far, you know, I haven't heard any danger. So, of course, Lebanon is more protected, but there has been instances with other countries where it has happened, where you asked before the break whether it was potentially real that people might be just taken out of Syria to go fight wars. And of course, that is more than real. This is the type of atrocity and lack of power and control that people in those areas have that they might be more accustomed to than we are here in the United States. But the tragedy of war is that. And of course, you know, again, our work continues in Lebanon because though the refugee crisis like what we're seeing in Ukraine is explosive now, the 2 million people who have left the Ukraine, much like the Syrian refugees who back in 2012 left Syria, their life of hell continues. And so our chance is to come in, and of course in this height of disaster, to come in and remind people and sprinkle sort of this hope and light of Jesus, so that as the days unfold and as they settle in, some in more comfortable places than others, who knows where? Many are still right now, as we speak, sleeping in subways. We had one report today, just a couple hours ago, from Lena telling us they had to turn away a family of 7 that had kids and a grandma, and they just didn't have space. I mean, they're literally renting, finding more apartments. This is what they're doing with the funds, is finding new places that they could put people in, buying mattresses. That's their top priority. Things we don't even think about, like they needed a washer dryer for the new place for the sheets. And so these are the type of things that they're paying for. They're trying to get gas for people to get that little bit of, you know, mileage to make it across the border. In Romania, our contact is at the border working to welcome them there, to get them into the Romanian system, which in and of itself is stress. And so if the church doesn't step in and give and provide hope in those times, how can we tell them about a God who meets every one of our needs? What an easy opportunity for the follower of Jesus to say, yes, I believe that God is good and God is life and God is freedom and God saved us. And here's my little way of showing you. And so our gift of money is just a small way of reminding people that Jesus is alive and that he loves.
Oh, amen, amen, exclamation point. I want to point out to my friends that I've got that link on my website. You're driving, you're working with the kids, you're in rush hour traffic. Don't worry about it. It's all there. Go to inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. Click on the red box. That'll take you to the info page. It says program details and audio. There's Lena's beautiful picture, a little longer version of her bio, her latest book, as I said. But at the bottom in red is livingwithpower.org/global. Click right on through. Easy peasy to give on the website. You've had practical needs put before you. Remember what Lena said. It's funny how war reveals our real character. Let's use this war as an opportunity to show the character of Christ, not just with our prayers, but with love in action. And I know that you will join me in doing just that. Lena, thank you for bringing this to our audience. And may the Lord just really supply your needs. Thanks, friends. We'll see you next time.